We're back.
Hey guys, welcome. Episode two.
Never saw it coming.
Mama, we made it. Yeah.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. To Killer Babes. I'm Katie.
I'm Kirby.
Yeah, we are.
And we're bringing you our second podcast.
Yes, yes, yes. This is an exciting one, guys, because for this one, we actually did visit the scene of our story. We went to the Freetown Fall River State Forest. Spooky. It's supposedly an extremely spooky forest in Massachusetts. Do you feel it was spooky? We just got back. We went today.
Yeah, we actually did walk around.
We were there for a really long time.
But we didn't walk the whole thing. So the whole thing's like 5,000 acres in both Freetown and Fall River, Massachusetts. It's like 25 miles of trails. And we did...
Is that accurate?
Yeah, we did 2 miles of it.
Wait, that's... I thought we...
We did... Okay, we did like three, maybe
it
four.
It felt like 10.
Yeah, it was only like an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours, though.
Guys, it's February in New England, though, and like it's actually no, it was it's kind cold, of a nice but day. Today was a nice day. It was sunny.
It was sunny. Yeah, it was sunny out.
It was sunny. It wasn't like windy, so actually, it was a good day to do it. But it's still cold. I kind of thought there was gonna be more like ice and snow. There was a lot of ice, actually.
There was ice, but not that much snow.
Not that bad. Like it was definitely walkable, and like we could get around. I mean, we're going to go through some of the backstory for you guys and sprinkle it in with, like, our experience there. But spoiler alert, yeah. Nothing, like, huge happened. Nothing scary.
We did run part of it, which I don't even know why, because we're not runners.
We weren't running from anything. We just, like, wanted to get through it faster.
Yeah, yeah. So there was somewhere we were trying to go, which we'll tell you later on. Yeah. But we wanted to just get there, and it was taking a really long time. And we were using... a map in part GPS.
I was using like my GPS, but like also the like DCR like map of the trails, and I was just having a hard time.
They tell you the like the mileage on there and like how many miles it'll be, but there was just no way to find out.
It was confusing.
At the time.
It was confusing, but it was like super pretty.
Yeah, it was peaceful.
Yeah.
Very serene.
It was quiet. I think there'd be a lot more. We saw a few people, but I think during like the summer or spring,
way more
there was a lot more foot traffic. So it was kind of nice. Not a lot of people. It was, like, quiet. One with nature.
Cold.
Oh, my nose. My nose was, like, running a lot.
Yeah, mine too. And my feet got really cold because I stepped in a puddle from the ice because I was too fat and fell through the ice.
Oh, my God. Well, that's why we were running, though.
Yeah, so I feel good about that. But then we had pizza after.
Yay. You don't have to tell them everything.
In case you guys were wondering.
We are the epitome of health. We went for a hike today.
True. So a little bit of the backstory.
Yeah, let's give you some info first, guys.
So this forest was originally, well, it's home to a Wampanoag reservation, but the whole area originally actually belonged to the local Pocasset Wampanoag tribe. And then, you know, like all of America, settlers took over, acquired the land. And it all started with the 1659 purchase of Freetown, which was incorporated as a town in 1683. During the King Philip War, 1675 to 1676, for any of you history buffs out there.
Who cares?
The Wampanoag tribe fought with the English, and in return, they were rewarded 190 acres of land. So they were given back 190 acres of their land.
Keep going. This is insane.
In the Fall River, Massachusetts area, known as Watapo Reservation. And then in 1907, Fall River needed to get the city drinking water, so it commandeered 100 acres back.
So, guys, to summarize that, the land was completely belonging to the Wampanoag tribe. Then settlers came in and fucked everything up, killed some people, took the land back, and was like, no, no, this is just mine now. And then the tribe helped them, or, like, fought with them in the King Philip War. So the settlers were like, ah, oh, thank you. Like, here's a portion of your land back.
Unbelievable.
Like, this, we were being so generous. Thanks for that. But then they were like, oh, shit, we need water. Like, we're going to take that back now.
So now you're left with, like, 90 acres? Sound good?
Oh, my God.
It's sickening. It really is.
It's honestly really sad. But my parents do their drinking water is the Watapa Pond.
Oh.
So, actually, I feel like I should impart their white guilt onto them a little more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, it wasn't until 1939 when the state of Massachusetts returned some of the land that had been taken. Currently, today, the tribe is left with the Wampanoag Reservation, and it covers about 227 acres.
Yeah.
And we passed the sign, actually.
Yeah, we passed it.
The forest is at the southern corner of what they call the Bridgewater Triangle, which is a 200-square-mile area within southeastern Massachusetts. Abington? Did I say that right?
Abington,
Rehoboth.
Why would you say Abington?
I don't know, because I was thinking abs, but then I...
That it would be Abington?
I went for like a fancier title. Like I thought it would just be like a tad fancier. Sorry. Some of these... Okay, if we did that... Have you ever seen online?
Yeah, the name like, the Massachusetts towns? Oh, that's something we probably should address like right now. Massachusetts, like town names are insane. Like,
Well, let me just pull up one.
Oh, yeah, you should.
I'll just type in Mass.
Oh, can you quiz me? Wait, yeah. How can you quiz me?
I guess I could show you it. Massachusetts.
I wouldn't know them by the shape.
Is it towns or?
Oh, show me the name. I mean.
I'll just say names.
Yeah, just say towns.
It's on BuzzFeed. Like, BuzzFeed literally did a quiz
on this.
They
did a video. I remember watching it. It was really funny.
10 commonly mispronounced Massachusetts city and town names.
Oh, this is so fun.
We'll just do the top 10 for you guys right now.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So show me and I'll say them.
Well, that one's easy.
Ah, come on. Worcester.
Particularly difficult for some people, especially if you pronounce the R at the end.
Oh my god, they even wrote Worcester.
They spelled it W-O-O-S-T-E-R. Wooster.
Woo city.
It says, for true, and this is off masslive.com, for true Central Massachusetts folks, it's a Wooster.
Yeah. Not Worcester or Worcester or whatever, though. Oh, that's Leicester. I know it. I said that in the last podcast, and I almost said I like because I was reading it. And I was like, Leicester.
I would say Leicester.
It's like Leicester. Leicester.
Leicester.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they just throw in like random vowels in here, and then expect you to just drop them and
Leominster.
I always say Leomeister.
Leomeister? That's not even.
That's not even how it's like pronounced or spelled.
That's definitely like a cartoon character in a movie. Like
maybe, but it's pronounced Leominster.
Leominster.
Berlin?
Wait, is it not?
It's not Berlin. So Berlin, Massachusetts is actually Berlin.
Wait, what?
No, okay, they typed like 12 R's and N's at that.
It's definitely just...
It says, look, Berlin. It literally says, you want to say it like the city in Germany, but Berlin. People in town will correct you quickly. The Worcester Berlin. County town is pronounced like Berlin.
Wait, I don't understand that. Sorry, Mass. I don't get that.
I don't get it. Berlin. Next one.
Tingsboro.
That one's tough. I wouldn't get that one, I don't think.
Pronounce the Y like an I. Yeah.
It looks like Tingsboro.
Ooh, Tewksbury.
Well, you went ahead.
Sorry. I'm just so proud that I know these, even though I definitely just should.
How did you say it?
Tewksbury.
This one says right? Tewksbury. I would say Tewksbury, but I guess I'm just really bad at pronouncing
things. Oh, I
guess
it is spelled like Tewksbury. So you say it Tewksbury?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Ugh. Gloucester.
Gloucester. Gloucester.
Nice. I got that one. One for me.
That's just Chicopee.
Chicopee. Chick-a-pee. Yep. Yeah, I don't know why that one's tough. Gusset? Oh. Situate.
Yeah, Situate.
Situate.
Dude, you saw it.
I know. Carlisle.
Carlisle.
Yeah, I've gotten like two right, and that was it.
And we are from Massachusetts, so we feel your pain, but also just get over it.
Yeah, but also just know, like, I didn't know, like, half of those.
Also just know Massachusetts invented America.
Yeah. It's the, no, hometown of America.
Oh, I think both are okay to say.
Yeah. So anyway, this forest
Abington
is called...
wasn't on the list because it's just pretty obvious.
So anyway, this forest is at the Bridgewater Triangle, which connects with Abington, Rehoboth,
and Rehoboth.
Rehoboth. And Freetown, which is pretty much like those three make the triangle.
Yeah, they're like the points on the triangle.
It, in the very center of this triangle is a mind-boggling array of, you know, unexplainable, bizarre phenomena. Yeah, your typical triangle of events.
Your typical strange creatures, Bigfoot.
UFOs.
UFOs, ghosts.
Spectrators.
I don't know what that means.
Is that like the things in Harry Potter?
Dementors?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Oh. Ominous black helicopters. Wait,
I'm pissed we didn't see any of it.
Yeah, I'm not, because they suck the living happiness out of you.
They would have nothing to get from you. Yeah.
They would just move on to their next snack.
Be like, oh, you're already giant.
Mysterious orbs of light. Strange disappearances. You were worried today about the snakes.
Well, yeah, because, okay, so apparently there's giant snakes there.
It's wintertime.
Well, if they're haunted snakes, it doesn't matter.
Well, what are they, ghost snakes?
I don't know.
Activity of ghosts and cattle mutilations.
Yeah. You want to tell them about the bug? Yes.
So, one of the most famous legends of this forest is the existence of a humanoid creature known as a Puckwudgie.
I just want to hold one. It sounds cute.
It does sound cute until you, like, read a little bit more about them. Yeah. These creatures are described as troll-like beasts, only 2 or 3 feet tall, which we decided was, like, at your waist.
Yeah, you were like, oh, my God. You're like, that's only, like, 2 inches tall.
Like, I could kick it with my shin.
That's more than half of me. Like, I'm short.
And they are described with smooth, hairy gray skin that sometimes glows.
Yeah, like, sounds like an old man to me.
Yeah, so one of the podcasts we listened to, actually.
he was like,
that sounds like my high school friend.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I went to high school with him. And we were like, yeah, us too.
We were like, oh, yeah, we think we went to someone too.
We knew a Puckwudgie in high school.
I wish I knew about this, though, earlier, because I would have just used this as, like, every insult. I would have been like, you're a Puckwudgie.
Why can't we do that now?
We still can, I guess.
I'm gonna do that.
Okay. They're said to be mischievous shapeshifters who love to cause mayhem. Which... They startle visitors by, like, throwing rocks in the sand.
Why?
Because when we were talking about this earlier, you were like, yeah, they just cause, like, a little mayhem. They just kick things at you, yeah, or they push you off cliffs.
Because literally, so the sentence reads, they startle visitors by throwing rocks or sand in their faces, pushing or shoving them off ledges, or kidnapping them, or attacking them. I was like, that escalated quickly.
Yeah,
like, a little sand in my face, whatever, but, like...
like, pushing me off a ledge.
That's, freaking puck wedges, yeah. They're not as cute as you think.
Yeah. Oh, man. But apparently, okay, the native Wampanoag tribe were aware of their existence, but they kept them, their distance. Like, they knew about them, but they didn't, like...
there are those puckwudgies again.
They didn't mess with them, obviously, because who wants dirt in your face?
Or to die. Yeah, like,
or to get hurled off a ledge.
Jesus.
But claims of these puckwudgies have been made by a lot of visitors of the forest from anywhere, from New Hampshire, Virginia, California, all these visitors from different places have all claimed to see it.
No, I think what they're saying is, like, there's been sightings from visitors of the forest, but there's also been sightings of similar creatures in different states.
Oh.
Like, there's been sightings in New Hampshire, Virginia, and even California, which at that point, can't we just conclude that it's not related?
Yeah, that's clearly a different brand of puckwudgie.
It's a different brand of puckwudgie species.
It might be like their far cousin or something, but it's clearly like not our puckwudgies. So yeah, they've been cited as one of the possible causes of unusual number of people who have supposedly fallen from the cliffs of the forest to their deaths.
Yeah. So one of the most like famous cliffs in the forest is known as the Ledge. The Assonet Ledge is an 80-foot deep rock quarry that was once owned by the Fall River Granite Company and is not associated with The Assonet Ledge is an 80-foot deep rock quarry that was once owned by the Fall River Granite Company and is now associated with a range of odd phenomena. The area is a known location for numerous suicides. Visitors of the ledge have reported becoming overwhelmed with an urgent, unshakable sense of dread when venturing near the quarry. Numerous reports have been made of people seeing ghosts jumping from the edge only to disappear before they hit the water, or just standing ominously at the top of the ledge. The area has also been rumored to be a hot spot for Satanists. Strange cults. This says strangle cults. Oh. I hope that meant strange cults.
Yes,
if there's a strangle cult out there, whoo, that's scary.
That's too much for me.
That's too much. And UFO sightings.
famous UFO sighting.
Yeah, there was like a famous UFO sighting in 1974 by the then Governor Ronald Reagan, who, as you all know, was like a president.
Right, yeah, pretty famous guy. I hope everyone knows who he is.
Yeah, I've definitely heard of him. Yeah. apparently, like, Reagan was flying in a Cessna over the ledge with the pilot Air Force Colonel Bill Painter when they noticed a strange light following behind their plane. From what I read, like, apparently they saw this, like, light behind their plane and it was, like, speeding up and then slowing down and, like, doing weird things.
Yeah, which, like, wouldn't be another plane.
Right. That's why they were so concerned. And then at some point, it they claimed that it just all of a sudden made, like, a 45-degree angle, like, straight up. And, like, they never saw it again. So, obviously, they were like, I don't know what that is. Big-ass firefly. Who knows? Yeah. Firefly.
Well, I don't know. Maybe.
That's true. I guess we don't know.
I don't know. I wasn't there.
Reagan went on to relate the incident to Norman C. Miller, who was at the time Washington bureau chief for the Wall Street Journal. President Ronald Reagan reported seeing strange lights in the sky within the forest that day. So, this is a spot that we went to.
Yeah.
The ledge.
And we didn't see any lights, but also it was only dusk when we went.
Yeah.
It wasn't like fully dark.
Full disclosure, we actually can't. We're not about to go there in the actual dark. That's too hard.
It was a really long hike, actually. Like, if we were in the dark, it would be so much longer.
We started. Like, we thought we had plenty of time, but, like, by the time we actually, like, got there and we're leaving, like, the sun was actually going down. And we made it out in time. But when we got to the ledge, it was, like, kind of that golden hour.
It was kind of pretty.
It was really pretty. It's basically just, like, a ledge.
Yeah, it's a ledge. It's exactly what it's called.
It's exactly what it looks like. It's a ledge of rock, and then, like, at the bottom, there's a little pond. It is really high up. I would say it's about, like, 150 feet up, maybe.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm, like, a little scared of heights, so I was getting, like...
Well, I didn't, like, go and stand, like, right on the edge. I was definitely, like, a few feet from the edge.
Yeah, I kind of, like, sat kind of close to the edge, and you can, like, you can see the pond down below. And it's, like, high up, so, like, the scenery just looks really nice, like, the trees in the distance. But
because it was, like, ice on half of the water.
Yeah, it was frozen. I was just getting, like, the heebie-jeebies just from... So, apparently, like, you get this feeling when you're up there of, like...
Like an energy spike.
An energy spike and, like, an overwhelming sense of dread is what the reports say. And, like,
yeah,
apparently there have been numerous suicides there. Yeah,
I didn't feel it.
The only thing I felt was definitely just explained by not wanting to, like, fall. It was like dread, but like
almost like adrenaline, maybe, like sitting at the edge.
Yeah, it was just like my fear of heights kind of spiked. So I was like, getting a little like energy or heated or whatever, but I can just
don't think it was from. Yeah, like I think if we went anywhere else and you sat on a ledge, like.
Yeah, you'd feel that. Yeah, like every other rock we climbed there, I was like, I got the same feeling because I just don't want to fall.
Every
like,
step I took, I just felt dread.
Yeah, but it was pretty, there's like a bunch of graffiti all over it,
which is actually kind of crazy because it's all like all up and down the ledge.
Yeah,
which I don't know how like someone got down there.
And there's sections of the ledge that are just like straight, clean rock. Like you can't really climb it. I don't know how the hell they got down there.
But I don't know. Maybe they had like ropes or something.
Well, that's hardcore.
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, a lot of people were just, like, writing their name, freaking their hearts.
We'll post some photos.
Yeah, we got a lot of good photos.
We'll post them on Instagram.
But I gotta be honest with you guys, I didn't feel a creep factor at all. Mm-mm. It was pretty, and I don't know, I just kind of got that sense of, like, old-timey, like, nature. Old-timey nature.
Oh my god. You know, back in the day when we
were millennial.
Back in the day when you went outside. Who goes outside anymore,
oh
right?
Oh my god. I just meant like it felt like I was just like in it was like quiet and it was just all nature around you, like no sign of civilization.
Yeah, it was kind of nice.
It wasn't creepy to me. It was just
I know for sure though, if we had gone at night, even if we had gone with a group, it would have been so scary.
First of all, do not go to the ledge at night. That's
dangerous. That's irresponsible.
Yeah,
and dangerous.
That's crazy.
Yeah, which actually, when we went to both of these places that we're going to talk about, there was a lot of glass everywhere. So people do go at night. People have fires.
Guys, it's all teenage, like,
yeah. And that's got to be so dangerous, though.
Oh, like drink? Yeah.
Like you're drinking in the dark, and then you're so close to a ledge that literally if you fall off, like, no, me neither. But both of them had it.
I guess, spoiler alert, right now, I'm a huge skeptic. Like, just moving forward, I guess, I don't know.
Well, I guess we should ask you guys, do you believe in spirits or ghosts?
I, like, want to know
why people do believe in it, or like
if they have,
like, if they have experience instances
that makes them believe in it. Because I don't know if it's just that I have never had an experience, but like I don't know. I always just relate it to like there's got to be an actual reason for things. Like nothing is. I don't really believe in coincidences.
I believe in it. I believe in like spirits, ghosts, the whole nine yards.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel anything today, but that doesn't mean like nothing out there. I mean, it's like a really big forest and we just hiked like 2 miles of it.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I didn't see any lights today, but also it was daytime.
No UFOs, no Ronald Reagan.
No UFOs.
Well,
no.
Yeah, that's a thing. Like, I know, like, to actually get the full effect, you have to go at nighttime. But
yeah.
Guys, we're not going at nighttime.
I'm sorry. I'll stay someplace, like, safe-ish at night.
I'll do anything for
Take it away. Okay.
But I won't do that.
But I will not sing and break out in song and dance. Maybe I will, because you can't see me.
True. Oh my god, Josh is dancing right now.
No, I'm sitting on my ass.
My ass is so sore right now.
Mine too.
Oh. Anyway.
But most importantly, we did not see any puck wedgies. And
I'm so disappointed.
Like, we hyped those up.
We were saying how, like, they sound like the Sour Patch Kids.
Yeah.
Like, you sour. See them, you're like, and oh, sweet. My little puck wedgie. And then they push you off the cliff. Yeah.
They, like, come at you with, like, a hug. And then they're, like, push.
The camera pans through it. It's like, sour, then sweet. Or sweet, then, no.
Sweet, then sour.
Sour, then sweet. Don't they cut off your hair and then they're nice to you?
Oh, yeah. I remember that one. That one was messed up.
Puck wedgies do it the other way, though.
Yeah.
I guess.
They're sweet, then they're sour.
They're sweet and they're sour.
So we went to another popular spot in the forest.
Yeah.
It's a large granite outcropping known as the Profile Rock, which some refer to as Joshua's Mountain. Mm-hmm. The 50-foot rock is supposed to bear a striking resemblance to a human face. And according to legend of the native Wampanoag people, the rock takes on the image of Wampanoag chief Massasoit, and it's the location where the chief's son died.
I'm thinking chief's son was Joshua.
No.
Yeah, because it's called, it's sometimes, oh, you know who Joshua is?
Yeah, and I completely forget, but I know it's not that.
Okay.
It's the guy who, like, found it, I think.
Oh, so, Joshua found it? Okay, guys, if Joshua found it, Joshua was definitely stoned out of his mind, and he came across this rock, and he stared at it for 3 hours, and then was like, huh, maybe that kind of looks like a face.
I will say, though,
because
that, it was like in 1902,
I mean,
we found a photo.
Like I think we got the wrong angle.
No, we didn't get the wrong angle. The rock has literally fallen on its side. Like, it used to
Can
be
Can we
upright.
Find reports of the rock moving? Maybe because.
Okay, so it was Joshua Tisdale, which was a settler who once owned a deed to the land. So that's what they named it after. So I think it was originally called, like, they named it after their chief, but then when he obviously came.
So
and,
when
like,
he stole
settled.
The land, stole the rock, he also changed the name.
Yeah, so then
Great.
It turned to, well, nobody knows it by Joshua's Mountain around
yeah,
here.
No
we just
does.
Know it as Profile
it's
Rock.
Profile Rock, yeah. Yeah, so we have, like, we have pictures of it. We, I don't know, man. I couldn't see it that well. Like,
I
maybe
turned
my
head a little and, like, close
my head,
eyes.
And then you squint your eyes and you close one.
With the sun coming through, I can
and
see
you're
a nose.
And you're blinded. It's like.
And I take off my glasses.
Yeah, and then I turn around. It's like, maybe I.
And then I actually just looked at you and I saw it.
Oh,
yeah. Sweet.
No.
But it was really hard. We'll put the image side by side.
I
want to
know what you guys
it.
Think. I mean, we're looking at pictures online that other people have taken.
This
and
is
it's
from
like,
1902,
that
though.
Looks like oh,
this
that's
is chiseled. This is chiseled. Like
that
there
jawline.
Are angles.
Damn. That
yeah.
bone structure.
And then what we saw is pretty much like what the yeah. second picture is, which yeah. is just a blob.
It's not great, but like the rock in general, we climb. You can climb up it, and we. Did
yeah we went to the top of it
yeah it the view from up there was so pretty like you could see the whole area and it was just so like so peaceful except for like those three hood rats that were up there smoking
yeah and again this piece is covered in graffiti like
yeah,
the last
covered
one
too, yeah I mean it's they're literally just
I think any
places that
yeah.
teenagers go to hang out and like smoke and they just
There's
graffiti.
So many glass bottles on the ground yeah, smashed. Like, it's so dangerous,
There's a
too.
Lot of litter there. That, like, that honestly was the saddest part for
And
me.
There was literally a trash can right at the bottom of it. Just throw your
yeah.
bottles
yeah.
in.
I know. It's I hate kids. Yeah. No, I hate teenagers.
That means we are old, because we used to be, like, teenagers.
Yeah, but we didn't do that. We
That's true. Like, I didn't do that
No.
at all.
We were respectful, like, for the most part. I don't know. Whatever. Kids will be kids, but...
Yeah, pick up your trash. If any kids are listening, pick up your trash.
Pick up your trash, kids. Yeah. And then go
if any
home,
adults are listening too and they don't do it, pick up your trash.
Okay.
Set a good example for your teens.
Do you know where your kids are?
I don't think we went to the Hockamuck Swamp.
No, we didn't go to the swamp. So there's another location called the Hockamuck Swamp.
Hockamuck.
Hockamuck. Oh,
really Hockaloobie. Get stuck in there, yeah. Hockamuck. It sounds like what a Pukwudgie would say, like when he pops out at you. Hockamuck. Hockamuck. Right? Can't you like picture one like waddling out and then like with his hands like Hockamuck.
Spooky. It's the language of the freaking Pudge-wedgie.
Yeah.
Puck-wedgie.
Yeah, maybe they live in the swamp.
I mean, I think they're just everywhere.
Yeah.
Although we didn't see any.
Clearly, California. They've made it all the way out there. How'd they get there, guys?
West.
Hitchhiking? Like, did someone pick them up in their trailer?
I don't know. Good for them. They deserve a vacation.
Yeah. They went out there to see the Golden Gate Bridge.
Oh, God. Oh, there's, like, forests in California, maybe they...
Yeah, there are. It's nice in Northern California.
Anyway, the Hockamuck Swamp apparently is also riddled with, like, mysterious reports. It's a murky wetland that covers much of the northern part of southeastern Mass, and it's the largest freshwater swamp in the state. The name Hockamuck, given by the native Wampanoag people, means place where the spirits dwell.
That's early... spooky.
Yeah. Early settlers to the area quickly learned of the swamp's dangers and many alleged ghosts and called it, quote, the Devil's Swamp. Some of the creatures said to be seen in the swamp are giant pterodactyl-like creatures, giant red-eyed dogs that attack ponies, which I have a note in there.
Question mark.
Question mark, question mark, exclamation point, because what?
Yeah, like what are ponies doing there? Like frolicking in the Freetown
Forest.
Red-eyed
dogs that attack ponies. Was that a typo? I mean, I
no, I don't
saw
think
that
so.
On their website.
I think they only attack ponies. Like, we're safe. It's ponies they go
why
after.
Why didn't they point out ponies as being a weird creature?
Yeah, why like, are ponies
that's what
here?
I am interested in. Are there
I don't know.
Ponies?
Well, there aren't any more because the red-eyed dogs attacked them.
Wait, oh my god, I'm thinking of,
My Little Pony. Unicorn? Yeah. Ponies are horses.
Wait, those are real.
Wait, yeah, they still exist.
Wait, that's why I was
so
confused. So
you've
I was
been reading
the unicorn.
You've been reading this the whole time as giant red-eyed dogs that
attack
unicorns.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of.
Oh my god.
That's why I was like, why are they like subtly passing over the whole unicorn thing?
I don't Well, I don't get why that would be your biggest question when we're talking about Pukwudgies right now. Like, you're, like, okay with Pukwudgies, you're okay with glowing orbs, but the unicorns you don't get? Like,
yeah.
Like, that's where I draw myth.
Wait, unicorns
myth.
Aren't real, right?
I think they could be, but I think it would be more like they used to have a horn, like a horse with a horn, like a rhino or something. And then, like, eventually there was no need for their horn, so it dropped off. Like how whales and narwhals and stuff, you know? Well, like,
my
narwhals
buddy.
Are real.
Hope
yeah.
You find your
my buddy. Like, I think there could be, like, horses in the past who had horns, and it just like an evolutionary kind of thing that it dropped off.
But we don't know.
But we don't
we
know.
We are diving way too much into a realm that we know nothing about.
We're also thinking a little bit too much when it
I
said red eyed dogs.
I thought that it said red eyed dogs that attack unicorns. Okay. All right. So, no, there's just red eyed dogs that attack ponies
and glowing eyes.
There were. We passed farms, so that makes sense.
But no unicorns.
No unicorns that we know of.
That we didn't see. That we also did not see.
Well.
And then the UFO sightings
that
we already talked about.
More UFO sightings. Like, me and Kirby were talking, like, all these, like, reports and, like, articles about the theories that happened there. Like, they literally just took every single thing that could be associated with, like, a scary forest, and they threw it all in one. They were like, yep, this all happens in this forest.
They're like, a triangle?
Trolls?
Poor creepy things.
Yeah. UFOs? Of course. Cults? Yes. Like,
in Pukwudgies.
In Pukwudgies. Yeah. One theory behind all of the strange happenings at the swamp is that this was the site of much of the fighting between the early settlers and the native people of that region, which
so a lot of history
makes sense. I mean, there's a lot of blood in that, a lot of bad blood in the area, a lot of like just sadness.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know. I get why there'd be a lot of like bad energy there
in stories, a lot of stories. And I think with all of this like creepy, crazy, spooky stuff, I think it just kind of like attracts people who have that interest because there's a lot besides the strange creatures and sightings. The forest is also, like we said, supposed to be a haven for cultists and Satanists.
Yeah.
Which is a little unsettling when you're walking through the woods alone.
But also, like, yeah, it's scary, but, like, also the whole time I was looking for, like, a pentagram on the ground.
You were?
Yeah.
Wait, I think we kind of saw one.
I did like, not.
With the trees, like, what was on that tree?
Oh, that looks like a, like, devil.
Oh.
A pentagram is, like, a star.
No, I know, but, like, I think it was, like, related to it.
I mean, yeah, maybe. I mean, guys, it's just kids going out and, like,
yeah, maybe. Things.
But, like, you, like, a part of me wanted to, like, see something.
Oh, I did not want to see anything. Maybe, like, a sign, but that's it.
The sun was still up. Whatever.
Yeah. Well, it was going down at this point.
Yeah.
But in the late 1970s and 80s, there was a big spike in sinister cult activities in the forest. Police would find random man-made pentagrams.
Did I say pentagons before?
I think so.
Oh my god. What's wrong? I've had a few glasses.
I don't know. Yeah.
I meant to say pentagrams.
Getting a little late.
Maybe I did. Whatever.
Various cattle mutilations, which they would probably use for...
Wait. Like, I literally said it a million times when we were walking around.
I guess sacrifice, right? Like, it would just be a sacrifice in their, like, rituals.
Rituals. That's what I was looking for. Yeah, they just, like, would... I guess.
And they found an underground bunker, which I would be curious to see if that's still a thing, if that's still around.
Yeah, like if people or if that's like real. Yeah, I know. Maybe we should have.
What was super weird, though, is that that place is kind of a dumping ground for, unfortunately, like we talked about, like litter and trash, but people dump a lot of car parts there.
Yeah, we were reading about like they just dump. Like there's been a lot of sightings of just like dumped cars in the forest. Yeah.
Well, because it's so easy just to get rid of something.
So tell me how that happens. You drive your shitty car into the forest and then leave it and then walk out?
Well, or, I guess, or you have a good friend who like drives behind you. Or you get someone to tow it out there. What if
the car, you get someone to tow it out there? I don't know if a tow truck would.
I don't know. Maybe you have like a good friend who has a tow truck or something.
A good car that you can.
Yeah. Or you could get one of those like mini trailers that you put on the back.
Regardless,
it's crazy, but we did see a file cabinet that was bent and
kind
dirty,
of burnt, or something. Yeah,
it was like a whole file cabinet, tan.
Like on the trail.
And then, like, you walk a little bit more, and you saw like the file holders, and then you like walked a little bit more down the hill, and there was like another drawer.
Yeah, it looked like they were like mad at this.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy.
File cabinet,
but that was pretty much the only thing we saw out there.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't see any pentagrams.
No, just some crazy drawings.
So there is, there's a pretty famous murder that happened that's associated with the Freetown Forest. And this was the murder of Mary Lou Aruda. So the story goes, on September 8th, 1978, the 15-year-old Mary Lou was seen riding her bicycle near her home in Raynham, Mass. Around 4 p.m. Hey, that could be another name for our quiz. Because it looks like Rain Ham.
Oh, yeah. It looks like Ray and Ham.
Ray and Ham.
Ray and Ham. That'd be a good name if your name was Ray and you opened up a diner. Ray and Ham.
Yeah.
No? I would go
I
there.
I don't like ham.
That's an unpopular opinion. And I'm telling you right now, take. I bet all of our listeners
we
out there.
We just lost all of us.
All of our five listeners out there probably love ham. Yeah.
Sorry, Mom.
Yeah.
Okay. So she was seen riding her bicycle near her home in Raynham, Mass. Around 4 p.m. And then at 4:30, the girl's bicycle was found abandoned by the side of the road. In the same spot, there was a skid mark from the tire of a car and a cigarette. Several witnesses later reported seeing a green car with a black racing stripe speeding away from the scene at around the same time they thought the girl had gone missing. Police gained enough information about the driver's appearance to put together a sketch of the subject, which was placed on wanted posters across the area. A police search was launched in the area of Mary Lou's last known whereabouts. Her decomposing body was found about 2 months later, on November 11th, 1978, tied to a tree in the forest. It was determined the girl had still been alive when her beaten body had been tied to the tree in a standing position. It is thought that when she lost consciousness, the weight of her body had caused enough stress on her neck to ensue asphyxia. It is believed that Mary Lou died the same day she had gone missing. Which is really sad. And I think that's really the one of, that's not the only
but like, it's one
murder,
of the biggest.
And it's not the only like slain body they had found in the forest, but that's I think the most famous.
It was a young girl, yeah.
Yeah, it said she was like a cheerleader, 15-year-old cheerleader in the area. After tracking down the reported car, a bright green 1976 Opel with a black racing stripe, police found a man named James Cater, a donut maker from Brockton. They would later learn that Cater smoked cigarettes, the exact same brand that was found at the crime of the scene of the crime.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dummy. During the trial that followed, Cater denied having anything to do with the murder of Mary Lou. The Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court overturned his verdict, and he was convicted again in 1986. The verdict once again got overturned, and then he was retried again in 1992, but that attempt ended in a mistrial. He was eventually found guilty, though, for a separate incident in which he was convicted of assault with intent to rape, assault and battery with a dangerous weapon, and kidnapping of a young woman from Andover. He was sentenced to life in prison with the guilty verdict, but still to this day denies having anything to do with the murder of Mary Lou Aruda.
Yeah, I'm reading like an account right now. And so this article was updated in January 2016. And former selectman, so he was 83 in 2016, former selectman Don McKinnon said, "We all recall it like it was yesterday. The town of Raynham and Mary Lou are synonymous."
Oh, wow.
A resident named Ginny just says, "It's like someone ripped the canvas of the Norman Rockwell painting. Our town was never the same." Hmm. So I think it's just like a small, like it was so big because it's like a small town murder. And yeah. They obviously didn't see it coming. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of like rocked their world.
Technically, it's unsolved because he wasn't found guilty in court for it. So I would say that her murder is still unsolved. They haven't pinned it on
anyone. There's no closure.
Yeah.
Other incidents border on the more bizarre. In 2006, reports of roving, aggressive dogs plagued the area. In the same year, an escaped emu was spotted wandering through the forest, rushing at visitors.
Is an emu really just like a yeti or a Bigfoot? Like, are they all the same?
Wait, no.
Oh my god.
An emu is like an ostrich. Which I'm guessing.
As soon as I said it.
I'm going to look it up right now, but I'm guessing it came from like an escaped zoo. Emu in Freetown Forest. And then I'll just put it in 2006.
Wow. My like associations tonight are just all off.
It's okay. I'll give you that one because. Oh,
why?
No. Okay, this one literally opens up with two young lifeguards thought they were hallucinating when firefighters.
Dude, they probably were.
Yeah, when firefighters ran past them chasing a large ostrich-like bird.
Oh, my God.
So this is from SouthCoastToday.com. Caroline Fox, 16, was working in a wading pool. I had to do a double take when I saw it, and I was just like, oh my god, that is not an emu running through the forest. Except she was right, it was. Yeah, they don't know where it came from. They speculate it escaped from a local farm.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense, because there are a lot of farms out there, and like small town farms and stuff.
So then that's not that weird, it's just...
No, but I just like add it to like the puck wedgies. Like I saw an emu, puck wedgie, a unicorn right in the forest.
Yo, it's magical out there. Wow.
Things are happening. But also just like in 2006, there were reports of aggressive dogs. Like,
yeah, it's literally just dogs. That too. Like, I mean, it's dog friendly. So like you can bring your dogs in there. I mean, I guess there's been reports of like dogs on their own, like being aggressive.
Which makes sense too, because it is near a lot of houses. And what if someone's dog just got loose?
Yeah, like right outside the forest is like residential streets.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping though that we saw something crazy. Like,
wait, but we did see crazy. A really cute dog.
We did. There was like a little dachshund and a puppy, and they were the cutest dogs.
Oh my god. Yeah, I wanted to steal because the little dachshund was not on a leash.
Yeah, very well behaved, but also like probably really tired.
Yeah, I don't know how long they walked, she say, but... he was like 11 years old?
Yeah. Dude, I'd be done with that walk. I'd be like, get me in the car.
He seemed like it.
Yeah. Bring me back home and feed me treats.
I'm too old for this shit. Pamper me.
Yeah.
Oh my god, he was so cute that I wanted to steal him, but we didn't.
Yeah, we didn't.
No aggressive dogs though, so no aggressive dogs. Cannot confirm that.
Yeah, the craziest though, I think, is 2016. They reported in May that there were wires stretched across frequently traveled paths. But the wires had a sinister purpose. So they were a little bit higher. And the purpose because of that was to catch off-road motorbike riders around the neck.
Ew.
So someone's really messed up, and someone had to put them there.
That's not just like a kid. That's like prank not a prank. Anymore. That's no. like really.
That's someone deranged probably put them up for that reason. And thank goodness they found them because nothing ever happened. But
that's so crazy. Ew, I hate that. There's a lot of, so there's paths that you can either just walk on or there's paths that you can motorbike on like during certain hours. Yikes.
Yeah. Or there were snowmobile tracks.
There were,
yeah.
I didn't notice.
Yeah.
there was no snow. So how did you see the snowmobile
tracks? They saw the sign. The sign like had like the listed things.
Oh, trail. Oh, they saw like the tracks on the
ground. No.
Oh, that sounds like fun, except not if there's freaking wires.
Yeah, because you'd be going way too fast to see them.
Yeah.
That's fucked up. Although, okay, so we took a really roundabout way to get to the ledge.
That's my fault.
No, I won't even blame it on anybody because I certainly did not know the right way. But we came out actually at the actual road part. And when we came out, there was a truck there. And I think it's so scary because my first thought, and maybe it's because we researched just before we went or something, but my first thought was like, why is this truck slowing down? And why is he like in the middle of the road? And I thought
And it was like starting to get dark.
Yeah.
And I was like dusk. Trying to like rush the car. Cause I was, like,
it was 5:20 and it was dark. It was solid dusk by now.
Street dusk.
Ugh. I don't know. I just got like that weird feeling.
Yeah. We were both just like, why is this car slowing down right now? Like what?
And then we saw the car and it turned out he worked there. He was like,
yeah, it was DCR. Just a DCR truck. Like,
so I felt really dumb, but it's like so bad that like in today's age that you have to feel that way.
I mean, yeah, I am just always feeling that way.
Always alert.
Like, a woman alone. Like if I see a car like slowing down towards me, like that's not a good sign. But then also we were just like hyped up and like a little nervous from the.
Yeah, because at that point we'd like run a good.
I mean, I was actually getting a little nervous towards the end because like I was acting really confident as to when I told you went to turn left and right, but like I actually like wasn't.
Oh my god! What?
But like I was going to say that, so I was like, oh, like if we really do get lost right now and it's dark, I think I had signal on my phone, but. That just wouldn't happen.
Mine was going in and out, and that's always the sign, like the start of a scary movie.
A bad movie starring us.
Where you just like shake the phone. My phone doesn't work. My phone.
And then you're like, I think I've seen this tree before.
Yeah.
Have you seen Blair Witch?
Yeah, of course I have.
Oh.
Have you?
Yeah, it was a long time ago though.
I saw.
Oof, that could have been us.
Yeah. Could have, but it wasn't this time.
Wasn't this time. Didn't get us this time, Puck Wedgie.
Yeah. Try next time. Actually, don't try next time.
Please don't.
Yeah. Stay where you are, please.
But guys, you should go visit. I mean,
like, it was nice.
I want to go back, like, when it gets warmer and look at it again. Maybe go a little bit further. Some
trails. If we went with more people, I would be totally more fine going a little bit later.
Really?
Well, there's strength in numbers. And if
not like, from the Puck Wedgies, well,
if something's coming at you, you just have to be, you don't have to be the fastest. You just can't be the last one.
You just throw your boyfriend in front of you. Take him, Puck Wedgie.
I don't know. It just, things get less scary when you're with a lot of people.
Try maybe.
Yeah.
But like be close to the exit. That way we can like.
Yeah, definitely would not be as far as we were in the ledge when it's pitch dark. Although the trail isn't really that bad. It's very flat.
No, yeah, it was like
it was well paved.
I got a good at exercising, like paved. It wasn't paved.
Well, like paved in the sense that it wasn't like roots.
It was
I
like
guess.
Trotted on.
Yeah, it was well walked.
Two paths diverged in the woods,
and sometimes it diverged in four.
Yeah, there were like
there were a lot of four ways. I could see if we had taken the wrong turn, it would have literally taken us in a whole circle.
I would have been oh my god, I would have been so scared.
If we passed that tree with the markings, we'll put the picture up for you guys to see it. But it was a tree with like weird ass markings. If we had passed that twice, I would have lost my shit.
Yeah.
I probably would have just sat down and cried. But I wasn't scared at the time. No, I know. But I, you know, I'd definitely be that person in a scary movie to just like lose it.
To just sit and
5 minutes in, I'd lose it.
You're like, I give up. Just kill me. I don't want to stand for this. Come get me. Yeah, I kind of agree.
Yeah, thanks for having that much self-confidence in me.
You're welcome. Oh, no, I meant like I would do the same thing.
Oh, okay.
But also, yeah, you would.
Yeah. Yeah, so we'll try to get in the summer, but for us, there was no experience. We just enjoyed the hike, and we enjoyed talking about the podcast that we were going to do.
Yeah, this was a fun one. I like doing just, like, kind of like a mysterious, strange forest one.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Let us know what you guys think.
Check out our pics.
Check out our pics on Instagram. We'll do the whole spiel for
you
again.
Give our Instagram handle.
You can follow us on our crime journey on Facebook and Instagram at Killer Babes Podcast. Our Twitter is at Killer Babes Pod. Or you can email us at any time about anything, killerbabespodcast@gmail.com.
Maybe not about anything.
Yeah.
I feel like that leaves the door wide open. But we would love to hear from you guys.
Suggestions, comments. If you have any hometown killers.
Please. I live for that.
Only New England, though, please, because we're kind of trying to keep it in the area.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. We're keeping it in New England.
For now, at least. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's our thing.
That's our thing. Cool. I had a lot of fun.
Me too.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
See you guys next time.
Till the next one.
Bye.